heart when I come in tonight that we'd have a little bit of choir singing and some preaching, and that'd make a good Wednesday night service, amen, choir singing and preaching. And so I want to preach something tonight that's heavy on my heart, and I pray that it'd be a help to you. Appreciate the young people, don't you? And appreciate all of them, amen, doing a wonderful job singing on Wednesday night and coming and practicing, amen, coming early to practice. And I don't know, we have somewhere around, is it 40, 45 young people we average on Wednesday night in the choir? I think that's pretty good, amen, for a Wednesday night. And we just appreciate you being faithful to the Lord's house, amen. And so if you're able to stand with us, Luke chapter number 4. And this afternoon I was praying for the service, and it's unusual. I was supposed to be in Mississippi tonight, but as just a turn of a few events. But really, I just felt impressed by the Lord not to to go anywheres and to be here. And then the Lord gave me this message to preach tonight, and I really believe it's the will of God. And so you pray with us and for us. I don't want to just give an information, but I pray that God will help hearts tonight, amen. And I really believe it's the Lord's will that I preach this message here tonight. And so you just pray with me and for me that God would help us. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Look at verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Father, Lord, I do ask you tonight in Jesus' name that you would help us. I pray that you would touch us tonight, fill us afresh and new. I pray, God, that you'd speak to every heart, and may the will of God be done tonight. I ask you to be pleased with our worship. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll give you the glory and the honor. Thank you for the singing tonight. Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be in the house of God on Wednesday night. And we'll love you and we'll thank you for what you do. Now, in Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. In this passage of Scripture, we see that our Savior has two great encounters. He has an encounter with Satan, obviously, as the devil tempts him three times. And the first time, he tempts him with the will of God, trying to get Jesus to do something that is clearly not the will of God, to go against the will of God. And then he tempts him to concerning the worship of God. He wants him to worship him. You know, the devil, if he desired anything, he desires to be worshiped. Amen. He wants to be like Christ. He wants to be like God. And he wants to be worshiped. So he tempts Satan, or he tempts Christ, excuse me here, with the will of God. He tempts him with the worship of God. And finally, he misquotes the word of God. He talks about Psalms 91, verse 11 and 12, but he tempts him with the word of God. The devil comes. And so Jesus has an encounter here with Satan. But that's really not what I want to emphasize tonight, although this is a great passage of Scripture, and much can be preached about temptation tonight, but that's really not the direction that the Lord is impressed upon my heart. Jesus has another encounter in this text here, and it's an encounter that he has before he has with Satan. He has an encounter with Satan, but if you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost." He has an encounter with the Spirit, amen? And you notice three times in this text here, in verse number one, we find that Jesus is full of the, or is filled with the Spirit, amen? The Bible talks about that in Ephesians 5 in verse number 17. He said, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, amen? He said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart as to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God. Amen? And so Jesus is filled with the Spirit. And then you notice in verse number one also that he is led by the Spirit. As the Bible said, that the Spirit led him up into the wilderness. I thought about Romans chapter number 8 in verse number 1. The Bible said, there is now therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? We don't have to walk in the flesh tonight. Thank God we can walk and be led by the Spirit of God. In that same chapter in verse number 14, the Bible said, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. So it is God's will we be filled with the Spirit. It is God's will that we be led by the Spirit. And we see that in Christ here in verse number 1. And then you'll notice in verse number 14 that Jesus is in the power of the Spirit, as the Bible said that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Remember in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, where Jesus said, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea. But he told them that they would be filled with the Spirit. They were the wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to preach tonight on this subject, on living the Spirit-filled life. Amen? You see, the reason that Jesus was filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and went in the power of the Spirit was because that Christ lived a Spirit-filled life. Now, for every one of us tonight that are saved, that ought to be the most important thing in our life after salvation, is that you and I would be led by the Holy Spirit. I believe it is the number one problem in our churches today, is that we don't, amongst preachers, amongst church members, is that we don't have as many Spirit-filled folks as what we used to have, amen? But the Bible said in Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, we're commanded to walk in the Spirit, aren't we? He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, amen? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And then he said, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, amen? Thank God we don't live under the law. We're led by the Holy Spirit of God. And what a privilege it is tonight to have the Spirit of God that would care enough to lead you and I in this Christian life. In fact, in verse number 23, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? He said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now think about this. You and I have to ask ourselves this question. Is this our characteristics? Is this our spirit? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferingness, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's 9 things there, amen? Against such there is no law. And he said there, as many as are led by the Spirit. And so he talked about that we're not to envy, we're not to provoke one another unto vainglory, amen? I'm talking about tonight, if we're saved, then we ought to have a desire to be filled and to live the Spirit-filled life. How we do that is we walk in the Spirit. We bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? We don't desire vainglory. And when I think about Christ, he was a Spirit-filled man. Even though he was God in the flesh, he was just as much man as what he was God. Amen? And you know, Spirit-filled people tonight, they're humble people. Isn't that right? 1 Peter 5 and verse number 6 said, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. Amen? I'm saying tonight that if people that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they walk humbly before God. They walk humbly before men. You know, we live in a day of boasters, amen? A day of braggers, a day when so many people promote themselves. And the Bible said that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1, when he said this, know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. What? Men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves, amen? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy.
holy. Amen. I'm telling you, that's where we're living at today in our average world. We got a lot of boasters and a lot of braggers and a lot of proud people. And I tell you, spirit-filled people are marked by humility tonight. Amen. I want to say that spirit-filled people are not only humble, but thank God they're holy. Now, I'm going to preach tonight whether you say amen or not. Brother, I'm telling you, a lot of time we just sit in church dead. If you want to be dead tonight. I'm just going to preach, all right? I'm talking about 1 Peter 1 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "There be ye therefore holy as he which hath called you is holy." He said, "Be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Amen. For he which hath called you is holy. And you and I have a responsibility to be humble. We have a responsibility to be holy. We are to live a holy life. I still believe what the Bible says, that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. And there's positional holiness. We can't see God. If we're not washed in the blood of the Lamb, we can't see God if we don't have the righteousness of Christ on us, if we're not sanctified in his righteousness. I understand that. We'll never see God outside the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you something else. You and I will not see him working in our life if you and I do not take the responsibility of 2 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1, when he said, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filth of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Amen. You see, we have a responsibility tonight to live a holy life. Amen. Boy, holiness is thrown out the window in a lot of places, isn't it? People don't care. Amen. You can preach on a lot of things, but when you start talking about holiness, amen, a lot of times it can get real quiet in a lot of churches real fast. Amen. But I'm telling you, holiness is still important. We must live clean. He said in Philippians chapter 2, that you may be blameless. Verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Hey, God still wants us to be blameless. God still wants us to live clean. God still wants us to live holy. People ought to look at our life and know that we live different from this world. We're not to live like this world. We're not to look like this world tonight. We're to be a holy people. Amen. The Bible still teaches that. And spirit-filled people, they're hidden people. I thought about Jesus even in this text. Nobody sees him but the Holy Ghost and the devil and God the Father. Solitude was much of our Lord's ministry. For 30 years he lived in obscurity. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5 said, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery." He was equal with God. To be equal with God. But the Bible said he made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Hebrews 2:9 said, being made lower than the angels. You know, tonight there are some people that's going to get to the end of their life, and all they're going to have when they leave this world is a name. They've spent their whole life trying to make a name for themselves. I'm not talking about lost people tonight. I'm talking about people sitting in church, preachers, singers, church members. A world where people try to build a reputation, but Christ made himself of no reputation. Spirit-filled people are hidden people. Spirit-filled people don't have to have recognition. They don't have to have the applause of men. Spirit-filled people don't have to be in the forefront. They don't have to be recognized. Oftentimes God may put them in the forefront, but they don't care, and most of them don't even realize it. They're not trying to blow a trumpet and let the world know what they're doing. No, it hasn't that robbed us so much of the power of God in these days? When people don't know how to do anything and just keep it hidden, they have to tell the whole world everything they're doing. They have to be sure people recognize some little work or some little sacrifice. But I'm afraid every time it gets announced by ourselves, it becomes ashes at the judgment seat of Christ. But those things that we do in this life, that we don't let the left hand know what the right hand doeth, those are the things that we're going to get rewarded for on the other side. Amen. You see, tonight, spirit-filled people don't mind being hidden. We're hid in Christ, aren't we? And Jesus, as great as he was,
In fact, verse 14 says that there went a fame of him throughout all the region round about. But Christ was never about vainglory, was he? Because he lived a spirit-filled life. You know, living in the Spirit satisfies you. You don't need the applause of other people. Well, I thank God for encouragement tonight, don't you? But you don't serve God to be encouraged. Because there'll be times you'll serve God when encouragement won't be there from this world, from maybe the brethren. But probably one of the greatest statements in all the Bible was when David was at one of his lowest points in life. And the Bible said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. I think God brings Spirit-filled people to that place where they learn how to encourage themselves in the Lord. Thank God for the brethren. Thank God for words of encouragement. Thank God for words of affirmation. And don't you, you appreciate those things that people say? But I'll tell you, when you learn to just get alone with God, and you know, you don't even have to tell everybody when you get alone with God. It's enough being alone with Him. Amen? I'm telling you, when He shows up, when He passes by, nobody has to see that. Nobody has to know about it. I'm talking about when you just get along with God. As a songwriter said, there are days I'd like to be all alone with Christ my Lord. I can tell Him all my troubles all alone. I'm talking about His presence is enough. When He shows up, when you read the Bible, when He shows up in that secret place of prayer, when He shows up when you're going down the road, don't nobody got to see that. I'm telling you, when God gets in that car and you feel the breeze of heaven pass by, it doesn't matter if anybody sees it. He's enough tonight. Hallelujah. He's enough, isn't He? He's enough when He whispers to your soul. I'm talking about living the Spirit-filled life. Do you know about that tonight? Are you a Spirit-filled child of God? I want to say tonight that it's important for these reasons. Number one, living the Spirit-filled life affects your direction. As the Bible said in Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, the wilderness is not a place that most people would go to. It was a remote place, a very rugged place. It's a rough place. It's a place of obscurity, but it is where the Spirit led Christ. You know, you and I never know where the Spirit of God's going to lead us. And what's most interesting to me about verse number one is that Jesus is not doing the leading, He's doing the following. He's an example to us that we must all follow the Spirit of God. He knows the path that we're supposed to take. He knows the direction that we're supposed to go. I would say tonight that the Lord will lead us. The Spirit will lead us. He will direct our walk, amen, in this life. He'll direct our words, amen. Hey, the Bible said in James chapter 1, in verse number 18, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. What I'm saying tonight is the Holy Spirit will direct our words. The Holy Spirit will direct the way we walk, the way we live in this life. You and I don't know what we're going to face every day. We don't know how to handle situations. Sometimes we don't know how to respond. Sometimes we don't know what we're supposed to say when we get called on the carpet about something or something just passes by our way. But if we live in the Spirit, you know what He does? He gives us the words, a word fitly spoken at the right time. He gives us the ability to walk in the right path. I'm talking about it affects your direction, amen? It affects your witness, amen? I'm talking about people. They look at your life and they look at my life, and if you and I are not living a Spirit-filled life, the world can see that in us tonight. The world needs to see real Christians. And real Christians tonight, they walk the path that the Lord wants them to walk. Say, preacher, have you always done everything God wants you to do? Why, no. But it's not the Spirit's fault. You see, tonight we're to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're to be sensitive to every aspect of our life when it comes to every decision that we make. He knows the direction. He knows the path. We don't choose our path. I think that's what happens a lot of times. We don't hear a lot of people talking about the will of God much anymore. People just say, well, this makes sense and this makes sense. But I tell you, we must pray about things. We must let the Holy Spirit guide us and let the Holy Spirit direct us. That's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit every day. We must be filled with the Scriptures, so we can know God's pathway, and God, and He'll help us. He'll help us in our witness when it comes to witnessing to others. Amen. And I'll tell you something else, the Spirit, He'll direct our wardrobe. Amen.
That's right.
He will. He'll tell you what to wear. Thank God it won't be short. Can I get an amen right there? It won't be skimpy. Amen. It won't reveal flesh. I promise you that, male or female, I'm talking about tonight. It won't be tight. It won't be revealing. Amen. I'm talking about when the Spirit. Listen, all you got to do is stand in front of a mirror and say, "Does this please you, Lord?" Isn't that right? If you do that, you'd never have to ask anybody anything. Lord, I'm going to go out in public, and Lord, is this enough clothing on to cover my body? Lord, does this please you the way that I'm dressed? Amen. I mean, if you pray about it, hey, the Spirit of God, don't you think the Spirit of God knows how to tell us how to dress? Amen. Now, the Bible tells us, amen. The Bible talks about nakedness, and the Bible talks about what's sent, that we're not to uncover our nakedness. Amen. We're not to reveal the flesh, but I'm telling you, if a person didn't even know the Bible and they've been saved, the Holy Spirit will deal with them and direct them. I'm talking about it's important that we be filled with the Spirit because He directs every aspect of our life if we let Him. And that's the key tonight, isn't it? Are we willing to let the Holy Spirit direct us? Our attitudes, our thoughts, our mind tonight. Why is it important to live a Spirit-filled life? Because it affects your direction. Where you go in life has everything to do with whether or not you live the Spirit-filled life. And it's not hard. You say, "Brother Gravely, that seems so hard." No, it's not hard. You know what you do? You get up every morning, you just surrender to God. You bow your head, you pray, and you say, "Lord, this is the day the Lord hath made. I'll be glad and I'll rejoice in it." Lord, just something simple like this. I'm not telling you got to do it the way I do or anybody else, but you can just say, "Lord, thank you for this day. And Lord, help me not to make any bad decisions today that would grieve the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, would you guide me? Would you direct me? Would you give me the words? Would you give me the wisdom? Lord, would you keep my attitude in check? Would you keep my heart in check? Would you keep my thought process in check?" It's just a simple prayer. Amen. And say, "Lord, I'll just do whatever it is you lead me to do. Lord, give me the courage. Give me the boldness, God. Lord, help me to be sensitive to your will for my life." It's just that simple, amen? And then you open the Bible and you read. I don't care if you read a chapter. I don't care if you read 5 chapters or 10 chapters. But you open the Word of God and you say, "Lord, I'm going to open your Word. Will you speak to my heart? Will you give me something today that'll help me down life's road? Will you give me something today that I need, Lord? I know some things I need, but you know more what I need than what I know that I need, amen?" I'm talking about it's just that simple. And then you go out the door and you know what you do? You just speak to yourself in psalms and hymns. That's what a Spirit-filled person does. They sing. They make melody. They're not grumpy. They're not grimy. They're not all the time going around ill-spirited. Amen. I'm talking about a Spirit-filled person has joy. And I thank God the joy of the Lord is our strength tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Why is it important to be filled, to live in the Spirit? To be filled with Him, to live the Spirit-filled life, it affects your direction. Secondly, it affects your discipline. Jesus being 40 days, notice verse 2, tempted of the devil. It was more than just 3 times. 40 days He was tempted of the devil. And in those days He did eat nothing. And when they were ended, He afterward hungered. Jesus is at the climax of His hunger at the end of verse 2. 40 days, He is hungered. You imagine the discipline. Jesus, what is He doing? He's not doing this for health reasons. He's doing it for spiritual reasons. Christ is denying the flesh, the discipline. I think about Matthew 6 and verse 33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." We must discipline ourselves to be obedient to God's will and to God's word. Amen. And that requires prayer. And prayer is discipline. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, the Bible said, "And rising up a great while before day, He went out into a solitary place. From there He prayed." Bible study requires
requires discipline. Amen. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know there's discipline in Bible study, discipline in prayer, but I'm telling you tonight, God will help you. Amen. If you'll just be faithful, if you'll just have some goals, but if you're going to live the spirit-filled life, it does require some discipline. Amen. 40 days. Jesus denied his flesh. You know, what an example tonight that we must deny ourselves those things in life that the Holy Spirit leads us to. I know that fasting is something that every Christian should do. Muslims fast. Jehovah's Witness fast. The Pharisees fasted twice a week. The early Christians would fast twice a week on separate days so they would not be confused with the Pharisees. But what I'm saying tonight is that when it comes to the Christian life and when we live the Spirit-filled life, there's going to be some things we're going to be called upon to discipline ourselves to and to dedicate ourselves to. I think that's one of the greatest problems in our society today, in our Christendom, is that so many people want to go to church and be entertained, and they want to go to church and feel good. And there's nothing wrong. Only going to church and feeling good. But I'm gonna tell you something, being a Christian isn't all about just going around feeling good all the time. It ain't all about just going around and just living on a mountaintop. There's got to be some consecration, amen? There's got to be some dedication. After all that Jesus has done for us, we ought to have a desire, amen, to discipline ourselves. There ought to be some dedication. Hey, it wouldn't hurt some tonight, maybe that are even sitting here, you need to move up closer to God. You need to get more dedicated. You've been taught better than what you're doing tonight. You've heard better than what you're doing. I know it's a Wednesday night crowd, but if there's any crowd probably going to catch what I'm preaching, it's the crowd I'm preaching to tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, if you've been raised in a Christian home, you ought to listen. If you're slacking up and you're slipping up, you ought to get right with God tonight. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you're saved, the Holy Ghost will deal with your heart while I'm preaching right now. Amen. Lord God, I feel like preaching too right now. In fact, I go a step further. There's some of y'all, I know you need to get right with God tonight. Amen. I'm going to take a vacation, Brother Laddie. I know you don't care. I'm going to take one because I need one like I've never needed one before. I'm telling you, it ain't easy pastoring these days. And I ain't complaining. I never complain. In fact, I've never went across this church or across this country and said one bad thing about this church. I can say that tonight. But I told my wife, I said, I'm taking a vacation so I don't lose my mind. And if you want to know what I'm talking about, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. It's what I'm preaching about tonight. I'll tell you where we're at. There's so many little things that goes on you ain't got no, y'all have no clue about, and you're not supposed to, because it ain't your burden tonight. I don't tell people in this church nothing that I'm not supposed to tell, but if I tell something, it's because I know I'm supposed to tell it. If it hair lips the devil, I'm going to tell it. Amen. But I'll tell you, sometimes, Brother Danny, this is just how it goes. What's killing most pastors nowadays is all these petty little old things that goes on in a church. When I tell you, sometimes you'd just like to line a few church members up, take a paddle. Can I just tell you how I'm feeling? And wear their backside out. Because, and I'm not talking about that crowd, I'm talking about adults that act like a bunch of children. And I ain't mad. I'm telling you, it's righteous indignation right now. Because sometimes people need to get right with God. It's what they need to do. And I've just come to the place in life, I reckon sink or swim, house full, handful, happy, glad, mad, or sad. If you're mad right now, listen, I'm just going to preach. And you can stew on it till you get over it. It's all I know to tell you. Because I'm telling you, I promise you tonight, I just ain't living my life like that no more. I got 5 grandkids, 2 daughters, and a wife. And by the grace of God, I might have a heart attack tonight, but I ain't having one over Baptist.
that can't get right with God, because I'm going to tell you what I'm telling you tonight. Spirit-filled people are low maintenance. That don't mean they don't have problems and call their pastor. I'll sit up to the wee hours of the morning. There's probably not a service. There's probably not, very few services. In fact, I got somebody to meet with tonight because I want to. And people say all the time, preacher, I don't want to keep you late. It don't bother me. I'll stay till midnight because I'm a pastor. And that's how I know I'm a pastor. I'll stay. If you got a problem, I don't get line up. I'll stay till 6 o'clock in the morning. And I enjoy it. It's not even a burden for me to stay if you have a concern. But I'll tell you, Brother Jonathan, changing diapers and putting pasties in people's mouth, I just ain't good at that. And I'm not going to start. Well, now that we're all happy, I tell you, the only people mad right now is guilty ones. And I wasn't going to say nothing, but I tell you, the Holy Ghost told me to say something tonight. Brother, I'm telling you, that's why. You know why pastors are resigning left and right? They just can't put up with it no more. It's all the silly stuff. All the silly little old things that, and people act so weird. I'm going to tell you something. Come in some days, you don't know what, one day they're going to smile at you, and next day they're going to hiss at you. And you know what it all boils down to? You need to get in your Bible. You need to walk with God. I'm going to tell you how I know that. Because if I don't do that, I know this flesh tonight. I'm talking about your pastor. If I don't do that, I'm not spiritual enough on my own. I need the Lord every day. And there's a lot of little things comes through my mind just like it does yours. And you know what I do with them? I dismiss every one of them. Because I love you tonight. I love every single person in this building. And I love them people that come on Sunday that don't come back on Sunday night and Wednesday. And they ought to, but I love them tonight. And I want them to get help. But I'm telling you, this is where we're at tonight. I don't want our church to be like other churches I see, where it's just a bunch of, I tell you, I couldn't pastor some of them places. And I tell you what it boils down to. People need to walk with God, don't they? I'm saying tonight, and you listen to your pastor. I ain't trying to hurt you. I'm trying to. You say, why are you saying it? Because I could say a number tonight. Because if it was one, I'd go directly to one person, but it ain't one. I'm telling you tonight, it affects you. Mature Christians, you know, I probably won't finish this message. I might preach part two another night. How about that? Me and Brother Laddie's never had, I don't think we've ever had a crossword, have we? If there is, I can't remember one. Brother Danny, I can't never remember a crossword we ever had. But if we did, I could say this about both these men tonight. We would not go to bed till it was made right. Isn't that right? We never had a crossword, have we? But if we did, we wouldn't let the sun go down on our wrath, would we? You know what I'm saying tonight? You know why? Because we couldn't pray. We couldn't be right with God. Too many decisions in life you got to make to be all crossed up. You young people, listen to me tonight. I preach to y'all more than I do them. Maybe I need to reverse that a little bit, but you don't let all that teenage drama come in. I don't think you got it here right now, but if you do, just dismiss all that. It's not worth it tonight. Amen. You parents don't get involved in that teenage drama neither. You do what we do when our kids come up and they say something, say, oh, hush. That's right. We ain't going there. You just hush. Grow up. Get over it. You say, well, Brother Gravely, they're not wrong. They may or may not be, but I don't really care. And I didn't care when our kids was coming up, because here's what I did care about. We wanted our children to learn. In life, you're going to have to learn to just swallow some things and get over it and go on. Is my telling you the truth tonight? And I knew, and my wife knew, if we fed into that mess, we were crippling our kids. And so we didn't give them no room for that. It helped them. It didn't hurt them. I don't know, man, I'm hitting everything tonight, ain't it, from Dan to Beersheba, but we're going to get it all. Amen? It affects your discipline. I'm going to get one more tonight. It'll affect your diet. Verse 4, Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You hear me tonight? I'm talking about living the Spirit-filled life. I don't want anything. And I have, but I don't want anything to grieve the Holy Spirit in my life. Separation from the things of this world. Jesus was more hungry for the spiritual than he was the physical. He wanted the Word of God to feed his soul. Psalms 1 and verse number 1 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Why is that man like that? Why is he not living with that kind of crowd in verse 1? Because of verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You don't read your Bible, you won't be filled with the Spirit. Memorize the Word of God. Not to quote Scripture necessarily always. It can come in handy, but David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that it might not sin against God." Amen? Memorize the Word of God so that sin don't lurk in your heart, so it don't get in your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Amen? Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Amen? I'm talking about our food is spiritual food tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, he said, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." And I want to tell you tonight, the Lord is gracious. Amen. I'm telling you, the best food I've ever ate has been when God set us the table. Amen. I'm telling you, the best dining I've ever done is when God just takes the Word of God and feeds your soul. Amen. Through preaching, feeds your soul through Bible reading tonight. I'm talking about you need to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Amen. Hungry for the Word of God. What's your diet tonight? Don't feast on the world. Amen. He said in 1 John 2 and verse number 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the world, but is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Hey, are you hungry tonight? Are you thirsty for God to do something? Are you hungry for God to move in your life? I'm telling you, I don't want to get to the place in life where I can just take it or leave it. Amen. And I tell you, don't you want to stay hungry and have a diet for the Word of God? Amen. Amen. Hey, young man, tonight, why don't you get right with God? Let go of the worldly things and hunger for God. I'm talking about separation from this world tonight. Romans 12 and verse number 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." That's interesting, isn't it? Paul begged them that they would present their bodies. Man's a body, soul, and spirit. Separation does have something to do with the body tonight. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm saying here, Jesus, he was more hungry for the Word of God than he was for those stones being made bread tonight. And that's what we got to get in this world, is that we love God more than we do the things of this world. Amen. We must separate from the world and separate to the Word of God. In fact, if you want to know in Psalms 1 who that real blessed man is, it's the man in Luke chapter number 4. Because when Jesus walked upon this earth, that's exactly what he did. He didn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He didn't stand in the way of sinners. He didn't sit in the sea of the scornful. But he did delight himself in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditated day and night. And Christ surrounded his whole life by a tree. And his life was like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And whatsoever he did prospered. Amen. I'm saying tonight, that's who Jesus is, and that's who we're supposed to be more like. We're to be more like Christ. Amen. The Spirit-filled life changes our diet tonight. It'll make you hungry. You know, sin will draw you away from your Bible. Sin will draw you away from the prayer closet. Sin will draw you away from the things of God. It'll affect your diet. There's not a person here tonight that if we don't stay in the Word of God, we'll grow weak in the Lord. We'll open ourselves up to sin and Satan. And it may be something out in this world. It may be drinking. It may be doping. But I tell you what, it may not be. Bitterness has killed as many people as alcohol. Jealousy, pride, and envy. To want what someone else has. Covetousness has destroyed as many people as any drug you could ever take. The sins of the heart, people that may have it clean on the outside, but the inside, oh, it's been an unforgiving spirit. A brokenness that only comes through being right with God. Oh, tonight I'm talking about, do you want to live the Spirit-filled life? Many of you are, but many of you tonight maybe need to come and say, Lord, I want to surrender, not my will, but thine be done. It affects your devotion. He took Jesus up on that pinnacle. He showed him everything. He said in verse 6, the devil said, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. You know, the devil will give you anything to keep you from worshiping God. He'll put anything in your path or in your hand or in your heart or in your head to keep you from living a surrendered life. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know, the devil wants to foul our worship up. He wants to get us to the place where it affects our worship tonight. I thank God for preaching. Preaching's put me on the right path more times than I can remember. And sometimes it blessed me and sometimes it blistered me, but I know this much, I would not be here tonight if it wasn't for God's men preaching the Word of God to me. Amen. There's no substitute for preaching. And the Holy Ghost, you never know how He's going to lead. I'm telling you this afternoon, as sure as I'm standing here, the Holy Spirit, I was outside working on something, and the Holy Spirit of God brought this passage and said, I want you to preach on this tonight. And I believe, as sure as I'm standing here, that God is speaking. It'll affect your devotion. What are we giving ourselves to? Hey, listen, young people, young couples, middle-aged folks, what are you giving yourself to through the week? I wonder sometimes if the reason people come to church, and again, you don't have to act like me. I wouldn't want to go to church where everybody shouted the same and everybody acted the same. I just want people to mind God and worship. But on the same time, I wonder if the reason sometimes, not all, but some people just sit there and never make a move toward God, I wonder what they do through the week. What are you engaged in? What are you devoted to? Amen. Are you devoted to things that consume so much of your time that you don't have time to pray and read? I'm not fussing, I'm just saying tonight. Are you devoted to, what do you do when you go home at night? Do you go home and watch 3 or 4 or 5 hours of television? Do you pray before you pillow your head at night? You pray for those kids God gave you. You call them grandchildren out in prayer. Do you pray for your parents? I'll tell you something. Y'all gonna find out one of these days. And I'm praying for every one of you. Because by the time you get to the age to raise children, it's going to be harder to raise them in your generation than it was in mine. And you'll need to have a walk with God. You'll need to be a Spirit-filled mother and a Spirit-filled, and you can't wait till you're 25, 30 years old to start that. It's got to be real to you now. You don't know what you're going to face in life. You don't know what God's going to do. You girls may have a, you may have a child one day and you don't know what's going to come down life's road. I'm not telling you a sad story. I'm just telling you tonight, you better walk with God. You boys, you better walk with God. I'm telling you tonight, as a church, I know it's Wednesday night, but I tell you, we better walk with God. It's a good church, but Do you know this church could be gone? Today is what? Today is May what? 21st. This church could be gone before June the 21st. Could be gone. That quick. Our churches will never be more spiritual than our homes and the people sitting in them. And I tell you tonight, and I'm not preaching this just to you, but I'm telling you that there's not one day that goes by when I get out of the bed, the Holy Ghost, if He said one thing to me down through the years, He has said this to me. Every day He has reminded me, son, you better live for me. The decisions you make and the way you live will affect that church. He reminds me that every day. You better give 100%. I'm not telling you I have, but I'm telling you He's been faithful to say, you better give 100% today. Because that church, you do something, you go down the wrong path, you get slack, you start coasting, it's going to show up in that church. You know, that's true for all of us tonight. As we stand, we need Spirit-filled moms and dads. I wouldn't lie to you tonight, church. I'm not going to tell you that I've lived.